Can I ask you to turn your Bibles again to 1 Samuel 17? 1 Samuel 17. I always encourage the folks to keep their Bibles open. It's always good to look at God's Word as we look at it together. This is a story that has impacted my life over this past few weeks. Just looking at it again with freshness. It's a story that we sadly leave so often to children, isn't it? We so often leave it to the boys and girls and tell it in story form, but there is tremendous truth for all of us this evening. Not just for the young, but for all of us, young and old. And I trust that together that we will learn something, and that most of all that God will be glorified. Let's just pray before we start. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence. We thank you for all the young people here that have taken part. We thank you for their lives, Lord. We thank you for saving them, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for their witness to you tonight in song and in testimony. And we pray, Lord, that all will be done to your glory. We pray just now that you will still our hearts, that, Father, you will help us to concentrate on what you have to say to us. And, Father, write your word in our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. David here is just a young boy, as you know. He is faced with one of the biggest challenges in his life at this point. And yet there's something about this story that as Christians we love, isn't it? There's something about the story of the underdog winning the victory that really captures our attention. I suppose that's why filmmakers make so much money out of films. I grew up with the Rocky films, Rocky Balboa, and there we see that the underdog who gets his opportunity for the first time to fight the world's number one heavyweight, and he draws, and then he comes and fights him a second time, and the second time he wins. There's something about it, isn't it, that draws us to these stories of the underdog. But can I say that David in God's eyes was no underdog? David in God's eyes was a mighty instrument. You see, David was a man who loved the Lord. He loved the Lord with all his heart. And do you remember that whenever God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16 to go to the house of Jesse, and there he was to anoint the new king of Israel, who was going to be God's man. And you remember the story so well, don't you, that it wasn't all the elder brothers that went before Samuel, but it was David, the youngest, who was out tending his father's sheep. This is what God says: "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." How's our hearts this evening before God? As I thought about this story and meditated upon it and tried to apply it to my own life, the one thing that came across to me was regrets. Regrets. And that's the one thing that I want to leave with the young people tonight, and that is: try not to have regrets. It's great listening to Caroline's testimony, so young and yet so fearless when it comes to sharing her testimony, when it comes to witnessing to her friends and to her family. And praise God for that. Encourage that. Nurture that. Let's, young and old this evening, let's not live our lives with regrets. I'm 30 years of age, and And as I look back over my life over this past couple of weeks, there's things there that I regretted. There's things there that I wish that I didn't do. There's things that I wish that I had have done. Things that I wish that I hadn't have done. So often that's the norm, isn't it? So often that's what happens. We always start out in our Christian life with good intentions. And you know, because we have the full canon of Scripture, that we can look into David's life and we see that in the latter years of David's life, David too had regrets. But here in 1 Samuel 17, David was a mighty instrument in the hands of a mighty God. Faith that overcomes, that's what I've entitled the sermon tonight. The Lord saw David's heart, saw that he was a man of God. And no matter how big the giants might be in our lives, remember that God is bigger. No matter how powerful they might seem to be, no matter how powerful they seem to come into our lives and try to destroy us, remember that God is more powerful, because God is all powerful. That's a mighty thing, friends. And tonight I want us to see God in this story, not just David's faith, but I want us to see God in the midst of a faithful servant. David's faith. First of all, look at Israel's opposition. The Philistine armies had moved eastward now, and they were from the town of Gath and crossed over in the Israelite frontier near Sukkah in the valley of Elah. This valley was about 12 to 14 miles west of Bethlehem. Here we see that this ancient site was probably about a mile wide with two mountains on it. Here we see that the Philistines were on one side and the Israelite armies were on the other. And you know the story so well that they were now preparing themselves for battle. But notice that it wasn't the Philistine army that was opposing the Israelites like before. But here we see that they were opposed by a man. The Philistines had got a champion now called Goliath. This guy here, he makes quite an impression on the Israelites. Verse 4 tells us that he stood at over 9 feet tall. His armor weighed between 125 and 200 pounds. And we also are told that his spear was like a weaver's beam. The point, the spearhead was made of bronze and it weighed between 15 and 25 pounds. Goliath was a mighty man, was he not? He was a mighty warrior trained as a youth. He appeared to the Israelites as invincible. He appeared to the Israelites unmovable. He was a great tower of strength. And he had brought fear amongst the Israelite camp. Verse 11 tells us that Saul and the Israelites were overcome by fear. They were terrified. Fear is a dreadful thing, isn't it? It has a paralyzing effect on so many people, doesn't it? The fear of flying. The fear of the dark. That's my fear. Ashamed to admit that. The fear of animals. My wife's afraid of dogs. And if a dog met her on the street, boy, she would freeze. She would try to shuffle as quietly and as discreetly as she could to get around the dog. She would walk miles before coming across a dog. The fear of being enclosed in small areas, claustrophobic. I remember that whenever our third child, Lydia, was born just seven and a half months ago, Matthew had a fear of the lifts, a fear of being closed in. And of course, Heather in Craigavon was in the highest floor in maternity wing. And every day we went over, we had to climb the stairs. It was dreadful. Fear has this paralyzing effect on it, doesn't it? What are the giants in our lives? Young people, maybe it's peer pressure, is it? Peer pressure, the pressure that is brought upon us in our schools today to shift from Christian principles. To not make your stand for God. Christian, don't be a Christian. Come on. Let's go out and have a bit of fun. Let's join in with all the activities of the day. Let's take a drink. Let's take a few drugs. Let's do this. Let's do that. And the devil is having a field day. Parents, let's wake up to the pressures that our young ones are facing today. The news that we hear about every day on our televisions is true. I have a friend in CEF over in Glasgow, and it's frightening that he sees drug dealers every day standing outside the gates of primary schools dealing and getting young people to deal within the corridors of the schools. It's reality. Intimidation. The giant of intimidation. That was Goliath's strong point. Maybe it's the giant of problems. Maybe there's someone here facing problems in school. Maybe there's someone facing problems in work. Maybe there's someone facing problems in home or in church. Health problems. Problems. They're all around us, aren't they? We all face them in this godless and sinful world. Maybe it's the giant of sin. Maybe talking to someone tonight and you're maybe backslidden. You've maybe allowed a certain sin to creep into your life, and before you know it, it has taken over. It has taken control of your life, and it now, what started off as something that you thought you could control, but now it is something that you can't control. And it has crushed the life within you. No longer do you desire to read God's word. You desire to pray, to have fellowship, and maybe you're here tonight under the umbrella of youth. But in the heart, you're as cold and far from God. Am I talking to someone tonight, young and old? It can happen to any of us. Am I talking to someone that maybe has never given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? Dear friends, listen to me. That if you've never given your lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, sin reigns in your heart and in your life and will lead you to a lost eternity. That is fact. That is on the authority of God's word tonight. That if you're not a Christian, born again by the Spirit of God, you're dead, the Bible says, in your trespasses and sins. Tonight, there's a merciful God, a God of love and compassion, a God who gave himself on Calvary's cross for you. And the giant of sin can be wiped clean, can be taken away. You can start a new life. Praise God for his sacrificial love on Calvary. Look to Christ tonight with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Acknowledge your sinfulness before him and your need of a Savior. I'll tell you, if you do that, God will come in a mighty way. Not only were the Israelite armies opposed by a man, but they're opposed by the mockery. Can you imagine the scene? Can you try and visualize this evening what it must have been like? Can you try and picture yourself there listening? Can you try and picture yourself there watching what is going on? It's bad enough that these Philistines had this giant, but every morning and every evening he went out shouting insults at them, intimidating them. He was challenging them every day to come out and fight him. One by one, these Israelites were afraid. Goliath had used intimidation. He had used all his military skill and his tactics, and he had bred fear amongst the camp. The sad reality was that the problem was not Goliath, but the problem was their lack of faith. Isn't that rife today? I believe that's the problem with so many of our churches today, is the lack of faith and the apathy that is amongst us today. We're riddled with it. Saul, who was more qualified than anyone else in military tactics. He was their leader. He was their king. He stood head and shoulders above anyone else, everyone else. And we're told that he was afraid. Every day Goliath done this. The text tells us that for 40 days he went out morning and evening to the Israelites and shouting at them, insulting the living and true God. And the thing that shocked me, the thing that really, really shocked me, was that no one for 40 days, morning and night, no one had done a thing about it. Does that not blow our minds this evening? Is that not a picture of today's scene? When as Christians we should be taking our stand. It also tells me that giants don't always go away. Giants don't always go away, young folk. Mums and dads, grands and granddads. They become more bolder. They become more aggressive. They become more in your face if we will continue to allow it to happen. And more the devil is getting a foothold. He's more and more coming into the church, ripping the church to pieces. He's coming into our schools and now allowing homosexuality to be taught as a norm. That can't be right. Goliath was crossing the ravine every day. Here we see that he was coming closer and closer and closer. Verse 25 says, "Have you seen this man who is coming up to us?" Coming up. Here it implies that he was coming closer and closer. Every day he was crossing closer and closer into Israelites, into the Israel's side. Never allow anything. Never tolerate anything to come into your life that shouldn't be there. It's as simple as that. Anything that takes the place of God, don't tolerate it. Run away from it. Do whatever it takes to kill it. So often we forget the God that we worship, don't we? We forget who God is this evening. So often we forget that He is the God who can turn our giants into grasshoppers, He tells us. Because all things are possible with God. For God is a God who is all-powerful, a God who is bigger than all our problems, bigger than anything. He is the God that can move the mountains if He desired. He is the God who calmed the storm, the God that fed the multitudes, the God that healed the paralytics, that healed the blind and the deaf. He is the God that can cancel sin. That's the God that we worship and adore. That's the God that we have come to love. Is it not? Israel's opposition. Look at David's opposition. My time's running out. David's opposition. Verse 26 tells us that David is now on the scene. This is the first time recorded for us, his words. Here we see that he has now left his father. He has now left looking after his sheep. He has now come up to his brothers who are serving in the army to bring them lunch. And here we see that for the first time, David is standing at the battle line, talking to his brothers and their colleagues. And he suddenly hears, for the first time, remember, he suddenly hears Goliath coming out and shouting insults and shouting at the armies of the living God. What does David do? Well, David, he can't believe it. He says, who is? And he basically says, who is this boy? I think he is. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Verse 26. Who does this boy think he is, coming out and defying the armies of the living God? Who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is, coming out and defying the living and true God? David is having none of it, you see. David hears and he sees Goliath, and the remarkable thing is that he's not afraid. Faith that overcomes. David is not afraid. Instead, he is angry. It's a righteous anger, like our Lord had in the temple in Luke 2. And the anger was burning within him at this giant, at this Goliath, and what he was saying about God and about the people of God. What made David different? David had a big view of God. Not only had David a big view of God, but he had a big view of God's people. He cared about them. He cared about what was happening here. Why is it that whenever we seek to do what is right, we always find opposition, don't we? Here we see that David is opposed, first of all, by Eliab in verse 28. Instead of finding support from his brother, here we see that David is getting criticism. You see, Eliab is jealous at his younger brother. He is jealous because he stood in his father's house and saw Samuel anoint David. David, who was to become the next king of Israel, and Eliab, who was the eldest son, was jealous. Isn't it always from the least expected corner that we get criticism from? But what I liked about this was I liked David's response. In In verse 30, he very simply turned away. He very simply turned away. Isn't there a lesson for us this evening? To not to be involved in petty squabbling with each other. You see, David's fight was not with his brother, with his family, but David's fight was outside the camp. David's fight was with the powers of darkness and the powers of Satan. David's fight was with Goliath, not with his family, his brother. Isn't there a lesson that we can learn from that? Not only is he opposed by Eliab, but here we see that he's opposed by Saul. Saul, he quickly hears what David is saying and the questions that David is asking and commenting about this man Goliath. What is going to happen? What is going to be done about this Philistine? What are we going to do about it? Are we just going to stand back and let nothing happen? Remember that for 40 days and 40 nights, the Israelites had done nothing about it. And David, for the first time, and he was having none of it. David says, and when he stands before Saul, look at what he says in verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. For thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." What boldness, what confidence he had. What confidence he had in his God. For the next four verses, David explains why he is able to defeat this Philistine. He says that the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear is the same God that will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. You see, David went out to the battle not looking at Goliath, but David went out and saw God who was in the midst. And he saw that the battle belonged to the Lord, God Jehovah. And that's the God that David went out. That's the power and the strength that David went out in. Saul could do nothing else. But in a very flippant way, he said, "Go and may the Lord be with you." Saul never expected David to come back. Thirdly and finally, Goliath's opposition. Goliath's opposition. The thing that struck me most of all about David was this. That David was prepared to give his life. Was prepared to give his life for the sake and the reputation of his God. Do you see that? That David was prepared to give his life for the sake and the reputation of his God. He had no regard for himself. He had total faith, the faith that overcomes in his God, that the battle belongs to the Lord. Here we see the armor. Saul, he tries to fit David into his armor. Of course, we see that because Saul is over 7 feet tall and David is only 5 foot nothing, the armor is too big for David. In fact, David could hardly hold his sword up with the weight. And David says, no, I'll go out in what I have. I'll go out in what I have. That's the lesson, folks. Be yourself for God. Wherever God, young people, older people, wherever God has called us in life and in service, be yourself. That came as a mighty breath of fresh air to me. For For all of my life, I have tried to put myself in other people's shoes. I look at myself and I'm never content. I'm never happy. I could always see myself like this person. I could always see myself like that person. Whenever I got the phone call and said, Mark, you wouldn't speak in Lisburn Baptist and at a youth service, first thing that came into my head, oh, I can't speak there. Look at the pastors that have went before into this pulpit. Gordon Cardwell, my goodness. I can't preach. That's what went into my head. Be yourself for God. That's all God wants from us. That's all God requires from us, to be ourselves. Secondly, the attack, the armor and the attack. You know the story well, don't you? My time is gone. Let me say this, that David went out not to impress anyone. David didn't go out to impress King Saul. David didn't go out to impress his brothers. He didn't go out to impress the armies. David went out and he did what he did for the glory of God. David did what he did for the glory of God. That's the faith that overcomes this evening. That's the faith that God wants from every child of God. The God who is all powerful, the God who is all sufficient, the God who is in the midst of his people, who dwells amongst us. The God who says that all things are possible to them who believe. You see, with God, Goliaths are nothing. And Davids are everything. With God, Goliaths are nothing. And Davids are everything. Oh, that we might have Davids today in our schools. We might have Davids today in our workplaces, in our homes, in our churches, in our pulpits. Let's pray. Here we're also given a glimpse into the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he triumphed over the kingdom of darkness. David, he used a familiar instrument, a simple sling and some stones from a brook. Our Lord and Savior, he used a familiar instrument. That was a Roman cross. Many people of that day thought that God was toppled from his throne whenever he hung on that cross. The armies of Israel, they thought that God was toppled when they looked at Goliath and thought in their lack of faith that they could never conquer this giant. But God conquered. God conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered the grave, and he conquered hell for you and for me. Tonight, if you've never given your life to the Lord and Savior, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who on the third day rose from the grave triumphant, and now is seated at the Father's right hand. Give your life to him. Give your life to him so that you might have purpose and meaning, so that you might have fulfillment and peace and joy, so that you might know what it is to have life in Christ. For man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the simple truths that we can draw from it this evening. We thank you for this ancient story that happened in history. We thank you for David's faith. But we thank you that the battle belongs to the Lord. Father, you are all powerful. Man today thinks that he has all the power, that he holds all the keys to life. But we know better. The battle belongs to the Lord. And Father, we give our lives to you. We rededicate our lives to you this evening. And we pray, Lord, that you would take us as earthen vessels and use us for your glory and for your kingdom. For that's all that matters. All that we do and all that we say, we pray that it would all be done to the glory of our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.